Yo, this is Mr. All Go No Quit Risk, and you listen to the Three Count Podcast.
Do you want to get live with me? Do you really want to ride with me? I'm in the club, baby, grind on me.
Welcome, everybody, to another great edition of the Three Count Podcast presents Now Entering, and I'm your host, Clifford Red Dog Miller, the man that leads you up that mountain called wrestling. And by now, with, you know, it being season 5 and our 300 and something episode, I would just hope you say it with me, I am your Sherpa. Because like your tribal chief, acknowledge me. But like every good Sherpa, you got to have someone who's been there, done that, and can do it more efficiently than you can. That's why it's never about me. It's about who's entering the ring. So who's entering the ring? You can find this man at Intense Action. You can find this man at OVW, UPW, Fighting Spirit, Suffix, OVW, Ace UPW. Pro Wrestling. He is big. He is bad. He is tatted. And some would even say he is an ink master. He is Risk.
Yo, what's up, man? I completely forgot about the ink master part. It's been so many years.
Yo, no, man, it's been cool. So I was like definitely going through and doing some research and stuff like that, and I was like, oh, what, ink master? I was like, bro, I used to watch the show all the time.
Yeah, man, it was an experience. It really was, man. You know,
I could imagine. Yo, so we actually chatted because we have a mutual friend, right? My trainer Sicken, and yeah. I saw your name, and then he tagged me in a post, and I was like, oh, well, definitely, because I, you know, Sicken is always one of those guys that, like, if he like knows everybody in the business, and I never know how he knows everybody in the business. It's random.
Yeah, it was funny because, like, I haven't seen him in like years, and we end up working a show in PA, and I saw him. We're looking at each other, and we're like, hey, did you work here? Did you work? Like, oh shit, you know. Then we remember who each other were. It's like, as long as you've been here, man, you meet a lot of faces, then you forget, and then when you see them again, you know, it's a whole, like, wow, you know, you're still alive.
Well, it's something like I've talked about it a couple times, like with this show, where it's like, I always treat people like I've never, like, even though I've never met certain people, like, I don't treat them like I've never met them. It's like, I just haven't seen them in forever. And yeah, like, conversations, like, always end up, like, flowing and just, like, being so mad chill, but It's always unique to see that you're always one link away from somebody who knows somebody. Like, mm-hmm. That's how I always, like, Sicken, like, I feel like is in the center of, like, everything. Like, I'll ask him a question. He's like, oh, yeah, I know that guy. Like, I worked with him here. Or I know that girl. Yeah, I worked with her there. And I know this person through that person. And I'm like, I don't understand, bro. Like,
oh, yeah, that man be traveling. Like, everywhere I pop up, I'm like, who let you in? You know?
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, good dude though.
And like, you meet like one of his students, and then you're like, oh yeah, you're definitely a Riot City kid. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I found that out pretty quickly.
Oh yeah.
So talk to me, man, because right before we started jumping on, right, you talked about that you've been doing this for about 20 plus years. So I'm like, one, who is Risk, and two, what was the moment that brought you into the business?
Oof. So Risk, when I first got in the game, I didn't go by Risk. You know, Risk is like probably a few years in, because when I first started, I was going by the name Nick Impact, you know, because, you know, when you start off, you need a cheesy name. So, you know, I started off with that. And then when TNA Impact and then turned to Impact, I had to change it, you know. So one of my boys, Chris Caden, was throwing names at me because I was throwing out names, and he goes, no, that sucks. No, that's terrible. And he was like, what about Risk, but with a Y? I go, okay. And then I went, he's like, but we need a first name, because at the time, you know, everybody needs like a first and last name now, you know. So everybody, I was like, oh, okay, Raymond Risk, you know, because my grandfather was Ramon. So, you know, I was like, okay, well, let me get something a little close to Raymond, you know. And then I was going by Raymond Risk for a while. Then I just dropped the whole Raymond and still would Risk, you know, one name like Cher or Madonna, you know. So, you know, so I stuck with that, and I've been Risk for some years now, you know. And what got me into wrestling, man, that's a hard one, man. I as far as I can remember, I remember my pops and my older brother was into wrestling. And I just, you know, me being a little kid, I just walked into a room and they were watching wrestling and I got hooked. Simple as that, you know? So, and that's where it went. You know, I from the second grade all the way till now, you know, I just been doing my wrestling thing.
No, it's interesting because like everybody like has like that story where they meet or they do something that's like, they get some link to the business, right? Like for me, like it was my aunt who just like, she put it on because she's like, here, this is something that you can watch and you can just enjoy. And instead, yeah. What ended up happening was, you know, Jake the Snake Roberts was getting bitten by a cobra, or not Jake Snake. I'm sorry, Macho Man was getting bit by Jake the Snake's cobra. His real snake. Okay, not that cobra. Get your minds out this gutter. Anyway, but yeah, so he was all tied up in the ropes, and I was like, yo, what is this? And then she was like, don't watch this. This isn't good. I was like, what are you talking about? This is amazing.
Oh yeah, I honestly was like, I really thought that I was the only wrestling fan in my family, like mm-hmm. besides my brother and my pops, because I lost my grandmother at a young age, and I found out through my mother that my grandmother used to be a big wrestling fan, and she used to do the moves on my aunts and my uncles and stuff. So I was like, oh shit, so it's part of the family. It is a thing. Sorry, give me a second. I'm like trying to add my plug because I'm at 5% right now. So you see me walking around.
Yep. No, it happens.
Yeah,
this podcast is definitely brought out where like things will always happen like on the show. So we always like and those who've been watching this for like a long time, we've had this show kind of like take off and go like a little bit of everywhere where like people will do it in their car or people will do it like they're literally walking around with like their portable charger. Like connected to their phone. Yeah, so
yeah,
we've had a who's thing of everything that's happened on this show.
Oh, cool. So all right, so this is basically normal.
Yeah, this is a run of the mill.
All right, great. Great. So now I know I'm doing something right. Kinda.
But no,
all right.
It's interesting that you're talking about Ramon and then, you know, just dropping the whole name, just sticking with Risk. So what, like, I guess because I don't think people will know because they probably don't. Some people won't catch it, but I will. Being that you are of Latin descent, like what's it mean to place your stamp on a Latin community and try to raise that bar a little bit for the community?
Oh, man. You know, honestly, it's like I didn't really think much about I'm going to be honest. I never really thought much about my heritage growing up because I'm from New York, you know, the Bronx. Nothing is full of nothing but Puerto Ricans and wrestling fans. So it's like when I was traveling and everywhere, you know, you always had another Puerto Rican wrestler. So it's like, oh, okay. But as I got out more and more, you know, I started seeing there was less of us out there. So I was like, wow, I never really put my Puerto Rican stamp on anything before until like a few years ago when I started putting like the flag on my gear and stuff. You know, because like, I don't know. I just always felt like I didn't want people to know I was Puerto Rican because I didn't speak Spanish. Because of that, a lot of people grew up, oh, you're fake Puerto Rican. You're fake Puerto Rican, you know? But, you know, as I got older, I learned to, you know, be proud of my heritage and, you know, and everything. So now anytime I go and rep the flag, you know, a lot of people are like excited and happy, you know? Especially my mom's when she's like out in Puerto Rico, she's like, that's my son, you know, and you know, but he has gold, you know, so it's like, you know, so it's been good, you know, anywhere I go, especially like when I meet other Latinos and stuff, you know, doing their thing, because like I could drop names, but I don't know how that is, you know, because, you know, I've been in the game for so long, and like a lot of guys I know are in WWE and AEW right now. So it's like, you know, it made me happy when I saw them pop up and I'm like, all right, yeah, do it for the culture, you know? So it was like, that's how I usually felt. And for me to bring that everywhere I go now it makes me happy. And it makes a lot of other Latinos happy too, you know?
It's one of those things, man, that like, I'm also a soy Latino, you know what I mean? So I'm very proud of being Panamanian. So whenever I go and look for like other Panamanian wrestlers, like there's not very many of us, and so I'm always like hyped when I meet someone, you know, like Nikolai White and Mantis are like two, especially just from like the New Jersey area, right to New York area. It's fun to be able to go chat with those guys and kind of talk about that, about, you know, being back in Panama. And then it's like my mom is the same way. She's always like, "Oh, mi hijo, this is my kid." Like, thanks, mom. Appreciate it. But like, my influence too comes from like, not just from like my Panamanian culture, but also my friends who were, when I was living in Nebraska, they're all Mexican, and some people were Honduran, and some people were from Ecuador and Guatemala. And so
they're like, in Nebraska?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to cut you off. I just never heard that. Like, when you said Mexican Nebraska, I was like,
yeah.
Oh, okay. That's new.
There's a lot of us in Nebraska, my guy.
Wow. I got to get out more, man.
But like, I mean, currently I live in Massachusetts, for those who don't know, now you know. But yeah, no, like, I'm that's where I'm from. And so all my friends come from different areas of in the Latin community. So I have like this heavy influence. But like, my best friend from high school, he was Mexican. And like, so whenever we talk about, well, when we were talking about, unfortunately he passed away, but when we were talking about like wrestling and stuff, like we talked about like, you know, ah, la raza, man, like we're gonna live it up and we're gonna have fun with everything, bruh. And so I definitely try to take that into like whenever I into my wrestling style, because I think it's just, it's so much fun to have like that one thing that other people don't have, you know what I mean? Like, some people will be like, oh, like I have a swag, or I have a je ne sais quoi about me, and I'm like, bruh, I'm that Latin flavor and y'all don't.
Yeah, I got one of my boys. He's he works for OVW too, Maximo Suave, and he's real Spanish. I can say that he is so Spanish. We worked a couple times at OVW, and he's always doing like the little salsa moves and everything. And I'm just like, yeah, bro, I can't do that. I'm proud, you know, but you know, I'm not gonna do that, you know.
It's funny, also, like, you know, so Sicken, I don't know if you know Sicken's trainer is Ruckus, and so Ruckus was teaching this little like lucha drag, and I was like, I'm totally stealing this, and I'm totally hitting this everywhere. And it starts with like a little spin move, and then every time I spin a dude out, like, even though like my character is like a mercenary who's just looking to headhunt, I spin a person out, and the first thing I yell, I'm like, salsa! And then just rope them back in. So I definitely wanted to use it.
Like it.
Wherever I wanted to go. It was like, so just people understood, like, oh, he's got a little flavor to him that's not Caucasian.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. Like, everywhere I go, a lot of people think I'm white, you know? Okay. And, but it doesn't help that my father dresses like he's an Italian mobster. So, you know, but, It works for me, because like, if I go somewhere and I say something in Spanish, people are like, oh, ¿tú hablas español? And I go, ¿qué? You know, but I get it, bro. I love when people bring any kind of the culture into wrestling and stuff, you know. The only thing I could probably do is like bring my culture into working out, you know. I put the Latino, you know.
I put on a reggaeton and I just go to town. That's me. I'd be tripping people out when I'm in the gym lifting and I'm listening to reggaeton, and people just see me like dancing and bench pressing. They're like, what are you doing? I'm like, none of your business. I'm in the zone, bro. Get up in my face.
I used to bodybuild when I was younger. I'm not gonna say my age, but when I was in my early 20s, I'm gonna say that, I was listening to Taylor Swift and Katy Perry when I was like lifting heavy and stuff. Like, I'll be bench, like my bench was a 5'10". That was my bench. And I would be listening to freaking Taylor Swift and all this. And my boy would be like, yo, bro, what are you listening to? That has to be heavy. I go, nah, bro, it's Tay Tay. I'm rocking out to Tay Tay. She pisses me off, so I get angry.
I was just talking about, it's crazy to think about like the music and stuff like that you would listen to. Like, I was just telling this Saturday I was actually in Virginia, with Next Up Pro Wrestling. And we were talking about, and me and the boys of Pure Ignorance, we were talking about music, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, yeah, I listen to like a lot of like Usher and Chris Brown when I'm like deadlifting and benching and squatting or just lifting in general. Like, I just want something that's just like slow and mellow. That way I can just like really have to zone in and focus on whatever I'm trying to get up or try to push up. And they just looked at me like, what? You listen to who? I was like, they're like, no, we listen to like Kendrick Lamar and stuff. And I was like, well, I mean, I listen to those guys too, but I just let you know, like, probably 90% of my list is this.
Yeah, my list is usually mixed. Like, I'll kick off with some heavy metal first, and then I'll go to old school rap, you know, because I grew up with that, you know. I grew up not too far from Big Pun. You know, then it'll start going into some like crazy, like light shit. I'm not gonna front. It's like I said, I'll like Carly Rae Jepsen, you know, Call Me Maybe, you know, but I'm in the middle of a set, so I can't change it. And then next thing I know, I'm like, Call Me Maybe, as I'm like, like lifting like this crazy amount of weight. I'm like, okay, that's cool.
All right, man. So you've been saying this, man. You've been in this for like, you know, 20 plus years, and I'm sure you have one of these because everybody has one of these. But I just need to know what's the worst bump you've taken?
Okay, this is funny because somebody asked me the same question yesterday. I was doing a match and I did a springboard off the second rope to the outside. The guy didn't catch me, so I came down on my right knee on a wood floor, and my knee, I couldn't walk. I finished the match, but the next day I couldn't walk and I was out for like 2 weeks. My knee swelled up. I still have the picture. This was like, oh my God, so many years ago, but I still have the picture and I still remember I needed a cane to walk with my knee looking like this. I was like out for a good 2 weeks until the swelling went down. Cause like when I came down, my knee pad also, this is when I was wearing these crappy knee pads, it slid down. So when I came down, my knee, boom. And all I remember the guy just like, just watching me flying over his head instead of like catching me. He was like stuck in awe as I'm like backflipping over him. You know, everything just happened in slow motion. I'm like, what the fuck, you know? And yeah, man, that was like probably the worst one, you know, the worst bump I've ever had. And fuck, like that way, you know, I want to say that one because I was out and my knee was all messed up. Even to this day, still a little messed up. You know, I can't count me getting knocked out for a 10 count, but other than that, no.
No, I understand that, especially because like, That's like the one thing that you're like trusting someone to catch you. And it's one of those things where I talk to people too. I'm like, listen, if you're going to do a dive, just do like a suicide dive and I'll catch you. Because like I had one person tell me, they're like, yo, I'm going to do a top rope suicida and just give me your body and I'll land on you. I'm like, bro, I don't catch people very often. So I would just rather have you do this. But if you're going to do that, whatever. And like it went well, but I was like, comfortable doing that.
I remember when I was training at Ace in Unions, in when they had the building in Union City, I was training with a guy named Mo Saxton. He went by another name when he got signed to Impact. I forgot what it was. I can't believe Mario Bocar Barco.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I can't pronounce, but I remember when he was going by Mo Saxton and at Ace, he said, "What's the first rule of wrestling?" And we all say, "Protect your opponent." He goes, "No, don't die." and we're like, "Oh, okay." Second rule: protect your opponent. And I was like, oh, "Okay, great. Now I know." But yeah, man, it's like when in this sport. You know, even though we make it look like we're killing each other, you know, because we all know, you know, it's already been out.
Yeah.
you still got to protect the person that you're working with, you know? And like, there's been so many times where people let me slip, let me fall, you know, and I just, and I'm just like, dude, what the hell? You know? So, and I, oh my God, honestly, I think I wouldn't have as much injuries that I have now if people would actually catch me. That's why I try to avoid doing a lot of high flying things nowadays, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like, especially because like when you build your character up, like you want to like invest in what they're doing and how they're doing it. And if you're a high flyer, hey, by all means, great. But I'm going to tell you who's not. Me. Okay. Like I could do moonsaults. Yeah, sure. But I'm not going to do them to the outside. And chances are I probably will do my standing one every so often. Just because, you know, I don't really care to. Because the other part of it is Red Dog is more of a mercenary who just wants to beat the shit out of people. So
that's I respect that. Go. Yeah, no, I respect that. You know, because like when I'm younger and getting into the business, you know, obviously everybody sees all the lucha and everything. I'm like, oh, I want to do that because it's so cool. You know, and then when you do it, you hear all the fans' reactions and everything. Ah, you know, but as you get older into this business, you realize you didn't have to do much of that, you know. You just maybe here and there, but you know. And I'm just like, damn, man, if I knew what I knew then, now, who knows, man, you know.
Yes, I'm right with you. It's like just kind of like adjust and figure it out. But yeah, I see like there's a dude up in Massachusetts who wrestles. His name's Dan Barry. And
I know Dan Barry.
Yeah. So yeah. Dan doesn't do like a lot, but he gets the crowds involved with him because he knows how to work. And it's one of those things where I like watching him do it because I'm like, oh, I feel like I learned something new every time I see him like do something. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
And listen to the crowd like respond to the way I'm like, oh, he's very good in the ring. And I love watching him work. So I'm like, take notes while I'm watching him do it.
Yeah, man, I've learned less is more, you know. I've learned that, like, because like when you're in the indies, you know, you go do whatever, you know. But then when you start doing TV, it's a whole different ball game, because now you're on a real clock, you know. Because I say it at my own promotion too. Stick to your times, you know. Because, you know, you got those guys who want to do this. Oh, I didn't get my Canadian Destroyer in, you know, or whatever, you know. So it's just this whole nother thing, a whole nother animal when you go and you start doing TV. It's like, wow, man. You know, I was like, I didn't know. When you have a ref yelling in your ear, yo, you got 2 minutes, you know, and you're like, oh, shit, you know, and you got to go to the next spot. You know, it's just a whole different thing, man. Less is so much more. And you can still get a big reaction out of it, you know?
Yep, 100%.
Yeah. That's why I try to tell a lot of the new guys, man. Like, the younger guys, I'm like, guys, you don't need to be doing all this crazy stuff, man. You know, it's just, I mean, it's nice, but you don't need to do it. You really don't.
Yep. No, I watched, I remember I was watching practice matches, and I'm not going to say where or when. But I saw these two kids were going balls to the wall, and the match was very fun and entertaining. And one kid was moving just way too fast, and he head kicked the other kid and gave him a concussion by accident. And I was like, damn, you know. So like after the match, like I remember it was like a couple days later, I reached out and I was like, yo, how you doing? Like, how you feeling? Yeah. You all right? Like, just wanted to make sure. And it was all like, you know, it's a 5 minute match, and they were just like million miles an hour, and
yeah,
you heard a thud, and I was like, that was real. That was, man, pretty solid.
I remember I was helping train these new guys, and this one kid just kept getting hit, and he was just taking boots to the face and everything. And I was like, bro, you gotta protect yourself. He goes, nah, man, I'm hardcore. I'm like, yeah, the hardcore is gonna leave you with a broken jaw, a brain injury, you know. It's not about how tough you are, bro. It's like, we want to see you come back the next for the show, and then the next show, you know. It's like, it doesn't matter. Put that ego aside, you know. always Eagle kills talent, man. This just, I don't know where that kid is now, though. But you know,
So let's move this over. And seeing that you've been in for quite some time, this is actually one of my favorite questions. I ask a lot of people, and it'll be a good talking point for everybody else too. But what's one of the hardest lessons you've had to learn being in the business?
Wow, man. You know, I thought I was going to be ready with all these questions that you're going to throw at me, but, you know, catch me off guard, bro. You said one of the worst lessons?
Hardest
lessons.
Yeah.
You're not going to make a lot of money in this business. You will invest a lot of your own money and get so little back, you know, and... this is like one of the things, cause like I always looked at like, cause when the first time I was on TV was in Puerto Rico, you know, and I got to work, a dude by the name of Craig Classic for the NWA Junior Heavyweight Championship. You know, it was my first time on TV. I got to work, you know, this thing, and I'm thinking like, yeah, you know, now I'm going to be up there. I'm going to get, you know, the payout I deserve. No, man, you know, it's just the way of the game. You know, it's just, I've learned, like, talking to a lot of people, like a lot of the vets at the time, you know, I've learned that you would not make a lot of money, but that won't really stop you. That can't stop you from achieving what you want, you know? So I've also learned more of the business aspect of the business. You know, I've learned that if you have a good gimmick, a good character that people could hang on to, you could apply that to your merch, you know, and you can make money off your merch. You know, side note, I started an art business to help wrestlers make, get merch. You know, because I always learned that it was tough finding merch, especially to fit my gimmick or whatever gimmick I was doing at the time, you know. So me having the knowledge I do now, every time I meet somebody, I'm like, oh, what's your gimmick? What's your character? You know, and then I'm like, oh, OK, well, you know, you could work this. This would be a good thing you could use for merch. You were in a bandana. You could sell that. You were in glasses. Sell that, you know. There's a lot of these little things you can make money off. You know, it's not just like thinking the promoter's going to pay you, because right now I'm a billionaire with hot dogs and handshakes, you know. I tell you this, but when I started making my own merch, you know, when I developed more of the character and people were liking it, were following me and stuff, and I started doing my own merch, that's where I started making more of my money, you know. So I'll go do a show, get my little $20, you know, and a pat in the back, but then I'll make my real money on my merch, you know. And you know, that was one of the hardest things I've learned, because it's like I always thought I was gonna make money, you know. It's not true, you know. Like I just spent $360 on new gear, $360. A promoter is not going to give me $360 unless I've worked a known national promotion. You know, I could throw OVW in there, but you know that. You know, but it's just like these are the things that you got to let the new guys know. Like, oh yeah, no, I'm doing this for fun and everything. I'm like, yeah, but if you really want to get serious in this, you have to invest in yourself, and investing in yourself costs money. You know. And then you're going to think, when you're behind on bills, and you're like, oh, man, you know, this is probably not the thing for me, because, you know, that's just how it is. You know, you are keyword is independent wrestler, independent contractor. You are your own boss. So everywhere you travel is on your own dime, you know, so you got to find a way to make your own money. You know, I use the hustle term because, like, again, I'm from the hood. So, you know. I'm not saying anything, but you know, this is just the things you got to learn, you know. And I try to teach the young guys, like, you could learn you could know how to wrestle. You could be the greatest, you know. That's great. Win your championships, do your thing, you know. But me, I'm all about business and money. I like making money, you know. I like eating. I like keeping a roof over my head, you know, and gas isn't cheap. Right. So you got to find a way to make money. So then that's why, again, that's why I started my business, WrestleLink, and to make merch for it, to help wrestlers with their merch, you know? And I know, again, money's tight. I work with almost any budget, you know? So that way you can make some money, I can make some money, you know? And it, that's how I work, you know? Cause like, you know, of course, there's a lot of other lessons that you hear, you know, don't trust a lot of people. There's a lot of snake. Yeah, of course, you know, that's anywhere, you know, I could go to a regular 9-to-5 job right now and, you know, have somebody I hate right now, you know, but it's like, but this is the thing, because like also talking about money in the wrestling business is a taboo thing, you know, that's why a lot of, I'm going to be honest. That's why a lot of promotions didn't want to book me, because I expected to get paid, you know. And, you know, silly me, you know, so now it's like, you got to work in order to get your name out there. You got to work with the promoter, you know, not and expect not to get paid, but find your way of actually making the money you think you deserve, you know?
Yeah, no, that's actually a great lesson. And it's one of those things too, is like, people don't really think about like the merch side of things, that like, that's where a lot of it's going to come down to, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I know for me, like, you know, a lot of people want to invest in like t-shirts and then sell the shirts and then 8x10s. And I know like Sickened is one of those person, Sickened's one of those people that will tell you what you should do and how you should do it. But then you just see, and a bunch of people just, they don't listen. So when he saw me and I was like getting shirts and I was getting like 8x10s and I was like trying to figure out how to get stickers and stuff like that, he was like, that's the mindset you kind of have to have. And, you know, then all of a sudden other people started catching on and started like pushing the same way as well. And it's funny, cause like, I've been thinking about different ways of like incorporating, cause I know a lot of people always compliment me on my mask that I wear to the ring. And I'm like, well, maybe we can find a way to do something like this.
We could talk about this after, you know, like, cause like, cause right now my main thing in my business is, I make foam replica championship belts. You know, I've done belts for Limitless Wrestling, Enjoy Wrestling, mm-hmm. Matt Cardona. I'm just finishing up an order for Stephanie DeLorna. Her Women's Internet Championship.
Nice.
You know, and this is what I made, you know. These are always, have been my big sellers, you know, the belts. You know, and I just tell people, look, you got to make sure you branch out with your merch. You know, not everybody's going to buy a t-shirt. Not everybody's going to buy an 8x10, you know? So work around, you know, keychains, stickers, you know, whatever. If you come out wearing something in the ring, that's merch right there. You know, especially if your gimmick is over, you could sell what you're wearing coming out. If you come out with a chain, get like the cheap chains made, you know, I could do that too, you know? And it's just like, you got to like really think about this, you know, like you got to make sure your gimmick is not just, it's for you. And it's but it's like, is the crowd really grabbing that? Because honestly, if your goal is to go to WWE, you know, now again, you don't have to be nowadays. Now they're looking at, you don't have to be tall or big, which, you know, which is great, you know, but if they can make money off you, if they can make money from you, that's the main thing they want. How can we make money off this guy? What's the gimmick? You know, Rey Mysterio, short guy, but the mask, all his mask, you know?
No.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and then like when I was doing my lucha gimmick, I made foam masks, you know, cleaned out, you know, because people love a mask wrestler, depending, you know. But these are the things that like a lot of the newer guys don't know, you know, and this is what I like to talk to them about, you know, when they hear merch, like, oh no, I got to spend money, you know, and granted, yeah, anywhere you go, things going to cost money, you know, but that's why I tell them like, well, what's your budget? You know, what can you spend? You know, all right, I could work with you, you know, well, let's work out a deal. You know, this is how, cause like, I'm not going to be doing this forever, you know? So I want to try to pass my knowledge and whatever I could do to help the next guy, you know?
Like
so, Yeah, you know, and like even now, like I'm have like my clientele is picking up, you know, like I've already talked to Al Snow and OVW about me making merch for them. You know, I talked to a lot of guys, you know. Now, do I get them all the time? No, you know, but, you know, the fact is I'm also networking, you know. So that's another thing I always tell guys, network, talk to people, pop up at shows, cons, you know, whatever, you know, get your name out there. You know, this is the knowledge I try to bring a lot of people, you know, because a lot of people don't think about this. They always go into a match and they're like, okay, oh, I'm going to do this cool stuff. The fans are going to like it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's great. You know, the fans are going to like it. The promoter's probably gonna like, yo, man, good job. Awesome match. But
what'd you get?
That pocket is kind of light, you know, yep. That window, you know. So this is just the things like I tell people, you know, don't expect, you know, to get a lot of money. Work shows to get your name out there if you're just starting, you know, but also get your merch up, you know, think about what you can do or what would sell to the fans, you know. That's what I always say, you know. So it's like I've with my Risk gimmick, I have my all go no quit, you know. I have little pins that say I'm a risk taker. I'll go no quit pins. I got my championship. My all go no quit championship. See how big this freaking guy is.
Yep.
You know, I don't know if this is just going to be audio or video or both.
It will be both.
Cool. Well, yeah, I got this sucker over here, you know, and I made replicas of this championship, you know, because like people love championship belts.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah, and like especially when it's a rare championship, you don't see anywhere else, you know, or somewhere you can't find, you know, these are like open opportunities, you know, for people, you know, you got your gimmick. What can you do to make money off that gimmick? Yeah. You know, you got to get that hustle mentality. You know, that's just how the business is. You talk about, oh, I'm not in it for the money, then you're in the wrong business.
You're in the wrong business.
Because like, honestly, it's like, then you could keep playing wrestler all you want. You know, I'm in here. I've been doing this for so long. I'm in it for everything, you know? So if anybody's listening to this right now, if you are not in this for the money, you're a damn liar.
Yeah,
you know, because like I had that same mindset too. I was like, oh yeah, no man, I love it because it's so much fun and everything. Yeah, it's so much fun until like you're hungry, you can't make it because you don't got enough money for gas, you know. You know. Yep. So you know,
everybody got into this because they're like, you know, I want to main event WrestleMania, or I want to be a part of like the WWE or like the E,
oh, yeah.
Right? Or there was nobody, and they knew because like they see people like John Cena, or they see someone like Brock Lesnar or The Rock, right? And they're making like all the let's not play. Y'all want the money. Like it definitely makes a lot.
Exactly. Like you don't have these guys out here doing it because they love it, but you know, they're not gonna do it for free.
Right.
You know, that's just the business when it comes to when people hear wrestling business, they just think wrestling. They forget the business part. You know, and it's just like I tell people, like, look, you got to do what you got to do. You know, if you're not in it for the money, that's fine. Enjoy it. Have fun. You know, I've done this for so long. I got to hang out and, you know, and chill with guys that I grew up watching on TV, you know, and that's been awesome. I usually take stuff like that as payment, you know, because that's just a moment that. You know, that doesn't have a price on it, you know, right. And then just the stories. I have so many stories, you know, these are just things I can't put a price on, you know, but it's just like, you have to remember that not everything's going to come the way you want it to, you know, you could work hard and hard and hard.
there's going to be a lot of people who's going to try to set you back, you know. But, you know, you just got to keep what Al Snow usually tells everybody. Stay out the papers, you know, keep your head clean, keep, you know, stay positive, keep training, this and that, you know, and, you know, just help yourself, you know, because a lot in this business, not a lot of people are going to help you, you know.
Yeah, so. I think that's why I started up this podcast, because I know, like, there's a lot of people that have, like, positive messages that they want to put out there. But, like, I feel like whenever I bring people on this podcast, it's usually because I want to talk to them and pick their brain. And then, like, other people who have the same questions that I have, like, will want to start taking notes, because it's like, you know, like, essentially, if you're listening to this show, you know this is like a college course. Like, you're already going to be a part of this. There's just there's no test at the end. You don't have to worry about the part. You have to write a final paper. You're just here for the ride of, like, learning about, like, the wrestling. But I think, and you brought it up, and this was, like, massive. It was like, networking is so important. And I mean, there's a message that gets passed on, like, from every episode. I think networking is probably the most consistent thing that gets talked about on this podcast. Is like, it's so important to network with people to learn how to, one, navigate this business, but then also, like, if you're not seeing something and someone else sees it, they're going to help you as long as you're willing to ask for it.
No, yeah, of course, you know, and that's just another thing. A lot of people are like, you know, they're afraid or shy, and don't get me wrong, I was the same way, you know. There's a lot of things, like, I could say, you know, I don't say that, oh, I'm a great wrestler and everything, you know. I mean, I'm not tooting my own horn or anything, you know. I'm just like, people tell me, like, yo, you're good, you know, this and that. And I'm like, and I appreciate that, you know, but it's like, it's not what you know, is who you know, because, like, I'm gonna share a little story. Ring of Honor, when I was still living in New York, I was working at my regular job, and the person I was working with, I found out her sister was Bonesaw Brooks. Jesse Bonesaw Brooks from Ring of Honor, you know. And I was like, what, get out of here, you know. So I got to connect with Jesse, with, you know, with Bonesaw, and Ring of Honor was doing Hammerstein, so she brought me in. And then I started working as ring crew for Ring of Honor. Ring crew, then I started doing security. Then that's where I started talking to Austin Aries and a bunch of other guys, the Briscoes, you know, and, like, I got to talk and meet people, you know? And that was, like, me actually getting my foot in networking with the bigger brands, you know? Same thing with shows. When I wasn't booked on a show, yo, you need your ring. You need to help break down the ring, set up the ring. You need a cameraman, you know, this, that, you know. This is where I got to meet Balls Mahoney, Terry Reynolds, you know, Trent Acid, you know, so many guys, you know. It's just like, networking is a big key in this as well, if you want to try to get your name out there, you know. And it's been great, especially, like, you know, I'm not the type of guys, like, yeah, I got guys I shared locker rooms with and got to and hung out with and everything. Now they're doing big things and stuff, you know. But I don't hit them up like, yo, man, you can put in a good word for me or anything. No, you know, because it happens a lot, you know. It's just like I'm happy for those guys, you know. But I ramble a lot. It's just, the main thing is networking, you know.
It's funny too, like, I've had people where I've, like, asked them, like, just to come on the podcast, right? And legit, I've had people actually tell me, well, don't ask me any questions about how to get here and here. I was like, I don't care. Like, I was like, that's you got there, I'm happy for you. Like, I will be your strongest cheerleader. I'm not gonna ask you, like, yo, put in a word for me for this place. I don't care. I was like, I want to see your path, because then I want to see how I can get there doing it myself. Like, I don't need you to put a word in, like, totally. Yeah. Like, I know sometimes you need to have, like, a friend to tell you to help you get into a spot, but then you're going to, like, work your way to get in there. And I've been one of those people. I'm one of those guys too. That's like, nah, it's,
I mean, if you have somebody to help you get at least, you know, dip your toe in the water, you know, and then get your foot in the door, you know, the rest is up to you.
Yeah.
You know, because that's honestly, that's what one of my boys did for me at OVW. You know, I made my debut on my sister's birthday, you know, and like he put in a word. I actually got to meet Al Snow at a seminar one time. And, you know, a lot of people were upset with it. I'm not going to say anything about that, but, you know, because they brought it up as a tryout, but it wasn't a tryout, you know. So guys were pissed and everything. Me, I just said, fuck it. I'm going to go over there and talk to Al Snow myself. Talk to him, introduce myself, you know, got his email, emailed him and everything. Then I found out one of my boys was working, is working with OVW, you know, and I was like, hey, any like tips or anything? And then he told me, hey, get your Kentucky license. I'll try to see if we could do a tryout match for you. I was like, oh shit, you know, and we did it. And, I was actually like worried. I was nervous because when you're performing for like a scale like this, especially for TV, because I haven't been on TV in so long since Puerto Rico, you know, when you get this opportunity, you will get nervous, you know? And then when I got that opportunity, I heard the critique, you know, and I didn't get offended or anything. I learned from it, you know? That's another thing for you guys. If somebody's giving you tips or advice, don't take it, you know, just listen, you know, they're not trying to chew your ass out or anything. Just listen, like, oh, okay, how can I make this better? How can I work? You know, it's just, that's learning. That's when they say, shut your mouth and open your ears. That's what they're talking about. You know, they're just trying to help you guys, you know? So when I heard that, like, I'm rough, but because I haven't been on TV for so long, you know, I picked up, I learned. And then my debut, I was chubby, you know? He just says, I need to get tight. And I've been working out. Like, I'm starting to look like I did back in my early 20s, and I'm happy for that, you know? But it's just these things, you know? So I just want people to know, you know, the key components is basically network, you know, it really helps. It really does.
Yeah, no, I love it. We're going to take this to my favorite part of the 3-Count podcast. That is the 3-Count podcast, 10-Count questions. And Mr. Risk, this is how it's going to work. I'm going to fire off 10 questions at you rapid fast. And whatever your answer is, that is your answer.
All right, let's do this.
All right, so we're going to put on an imaginary timer for added pressure. Bing! And in the words of my favorite commentator, Mike Goldberg, here we go. SmackDown or Raw?
Raw.
Favorite movie?
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Marvel or DC?
Marvel.
Favorite tattoo artist?
Oh, you got me. Fuck. Paul Boof.
Apple or Android?
Android.
Favorite cartoon?
Thundercats.
Ho! Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Favorite podcast?
Morbid.
Let's go. Nominate one person that you want to see on this podcast.
I would definitely say my boy Chris Caden.
Let's go. And then last but not least, my favorite question to ask every single person who comes on the show. Favorite curse word?
Cocksucker.
Hey, let's go. I like that. I think that may be like one of the most underrated used curse words.
I just say it so often because I think I got it mainly from my pops, because he's always saying something about somebody. He goes, that cocksucker. And I just... I just took it as my own, so now I call everybody a cocksucker.
I love it. Yo, so those are all my questions for you. So the last thing I need is for you to let our listeners and our viewers know where they can find you.
All right. You guys can find me on Instagram. my wrestling page is Artisan of Violence, all one word. And you can follow my business page, Russell Inc., I-N-K, all one word, on Instagram as well. And if you guys want to get that merch or whatever, just hit me up on those two. Those are my main pages that I'm always on.
Bet. Well, there you go. He told you where you can find his worker page and his merch page. So you guys make sure you go follow him and give him all the likes. And then, you know, get your merch out there.
Hell yeah.
But like every great part of a wrestling match, we got to take this home. Because this is the 3 Count Podcast presents Now Into Ring. And now I'm your host, Clifford Red Dog Miller, man that leads you up that mountain called wrestling. And like always, it's never about me. It's about who's entering. So who's entering? You see him right there. Mr. All Go No Quits. Risk. Yeah. And you guys know what to do. Tune into the next episode and be there. Or you're legitimately just following us on all of our social media platforms. You're even subscribed to our YouTube channel. You're following us on Spotify. You're checking us on Amazon Music. You're even listening to iHeartRadio or whatever that dumb jingle is that they do. You're buying our merch on ProWrestlingTees.com or ForYourWear.com. You're even telling your mom, your dad, your uncle, your auntie, your grandma, your grandmother, your brother, your sisters, your dog, your enemies, because we love haters too. Telling them all about us. You're liking this. You're leaving comments. You're even sharing this with, like I said, everybody around. Or you're really just kind of waiting for this episode to end. You're waiting for the outro. And then you're choosing another episode to listen to. Kawaii.
What's going on? It is Clifford Red Dog Miller, the man that leads you up that mountain called wrestling. And what we need from you guys is just kind of show some support, right? We want you guys to go to our YouTube channel at the 3 Count Podcast, go on to our Twitch channel, 3 Count Pod, or even our Facebook page, 3 Count Podcast, and just give us a like, follow, subscribe, even give us a comment, right? Do all that cool stuff. Share it with your friends, share it with your family, share it with your enemies, right? Or you can even come talk to us and just chat us up, right? Find us on Twitter at 3Count_Pod. Find us on IG and on TikTok at 3 Count Pod. Go ahead and leave us those comments. We want to hear from all of you guys. We're going to keep putting on videos and stuff like that. We want to keep making this content better, so we want your guys' support. Also, if you guys want to, go support us at ProWrestlingTees.com/the3CountPodcast or even find us on ForYourWear.com. Give us a support. Show us your guys' love, because we want to give it right back to y'all. So, in the meantime, love y'all.